Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 on Wednesday nights. We've been studying on the life of the Apostle Peter. And we find that Peter is being prepared for his life's ministry as he has been saved. And then after salvation, we find that Lord Jesus called him to follow him. And after that, he started preparing him for his life's work. And in doing that, we've already studied how that Jesus performed a miracle of healing his mother-in-law and how that would have impacted Peter and his family. And then we find that after that, Peter observes Jesus being able to feed 5,000 with just a few loaves of bread and a couple of fishes. And then right after feeding of the 5,000, we find that Jesus puts the disciples on a ship and sends them across to the other side. And there's so many messages, so many lessons to be taught out of this passage of Scripture. We taught last message on that, on learning to obey, because he put them on the ship to protect them from the influence of the crowd. Jesus knew as the crowd was going to return that they were going to try to force him to be their provider. The crowd would have tried to make him king and forced him to be able to stay with them and to just provide food and lodging and miracles of healing. That's what their mindset was. Jesus, knowing that, did not want the disciples to have to face that influence. And so before the crowd arrived, he put them on the ship that they would sail across. And then after that, we find that Jesus left the crowd and went up to the mountain to pray. And so that brings us back here to what has taken place in the second lesson we're going to be learning from this journey across the seas with the disciples and with Peter especially. And so if you'll stand with me, we'll read this, verse 22 down to verse 27. All right, everybody with me tonight? Praise the Lord. We're here in church, and I know there's a whole lot going on, and I've just been praying God would give us grace and give me grace to be able to focus on the message tonight. I believe that's what we have need of, to be able to receive what God has for us, to be able to go out and accomplish whatever else needs to be accomplished. So we have to stay focused on the Word of God and the message He has for us tonight. So I trust that we'll be able to do that. Matthew 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you once again tonight, and we do, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be in church and for all that have taken advantage of that or here tonight, and you know what's taking place in each one of our lives. You know what kind of spiritual needs we have. I just pray, God, that you would help us to just put everything else aside to the side and just focus on the spiritual food and the help and the blessings that you have for us through the preaching and the study of thy word. Pray that you would empower it once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, the first things we find here is Jesus put them on the ship, and he put them on the ship so that they would avoid the influence of the crowd. He knew that the crowd would have been a negative influence on the disciples' lives. And if they would have done what they was wanting to do, then his disciples would have possibly, Peter would have got the sword out again, and he would have cut some heads off, or at least attempted to. And it would have been a mess. If he would have allowed the disciples to stay and the crowd would have been there, then things would have happened that would have been outside of God's will. And so Jesus, knowing that, then he sends his disciples to the other side. He puts them on a ship and sends them to the other side to avoid influences that would not be healthy for them. Praise the Lord that God is still able to keep us from influences that would not be good for us. And you never know just what God is working and why things happen so that we might not have to face certain things. But on the other side of that, Jesus put them on the ship, and the ship was going to run into a storm. Jesus allows them to experience a storm because he knew that there would be something profitable that they would get out of it. He would work through the storm in a way that would strengthen them. Isn't that something? God's able to discern what kind of experiences that we need to go through in our lives. And he keeps us from certain experiences. As long as we're in the will of God, we know that he can protect us from things that it's not his will for our lives to have to go through. But on the other hand of it, he, in his will, realizes that we need to face some storms. So we find here that Jesus places them on the ship, and if you look down to verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Jesus understanding what the believers would need to be able to be prepared for God's call upon their lives. Now, the disciples had the call of God upon their lives, and the call of God upon their lives would be very important in the early church. For during this apostolic age, after Christ would ascend into heaven, each one of them would play a very important role in keeping the church moving forward and establishing churches all around the country. He knew what purpose he had for the call upon their lives. Can I tell you that there is a call? If you're saved here tonight, then God has a call on your life. Every believer has a call, a purpose for living. A call that gives you a purpose for life. And when we are in the will of God, accomplishing the call that God has upon our lives, you can't be anywhere else and find the kind of peace and strength and faith, because you're in the will of God. No matter what you have to face, you will be prepared for that. I love that. I love that. He knew this would be a needed storm to prepare them for his call upon their lives. All of us will face storms in life. In the book of Revelation, look there with me, Revelation chapter 21. Now, this idea, this comparison, he kept them from experiencing one thing, but then led them to experience something different. He didn't want them to experience the crowd and have that influence, but he did want them to have to face the storms out on the sea. In the book of Revelation in chapter 21, the book of Revelation chapter 21 verse 4, it says this, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Talks about those going to glory, going to be in heaven. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. We're not in heaven on this earth. Now stop and think about that. He tells us what it's going to be like in heaven, and what a blessing. But we're not in heaven as long as we're on this earth. So on this earth, we're going to experience tears. We're going to experience death. We're going to experience sorrow. We're going to experience pain. Those are things that will not be in heaven. It will not be in a glorified body. It will not be in the presence of God for an eternity. But that's something to look forward to. And what helps us to look forward to that and see the blessing of that is when we go through those things in this life. I truly believe that the aging process gets us better prepared for heaven. Yeah. But here's, as long as we live here, as long as we know that God is determining what we go through, and whatever God allows us to go through, there is a purpose and a need for it. We have to be prepared for tears. We have to be prepared for death. One of the sad things, the older you get, the more you experience people dying around you, friends and loved ones and families. Yeah. Have to be prepared for sorrow. We have never been given a promise that we would not experience these things in this life. Matter of fact, we have been given information and understanding that we would have to experience some in this life. It's a part of this life. It's a part of this life on earth. It's going to be different in heaven. He tells us that. But we have to expect it here in this life. Sorrow and pain. As we understand that it's something that we will face in life, no one truly wants to experience storms. As a pastor and having a congregation that we have here, I'm a little bit more aware of every individual's storms, and helping them to maneuver through the storms. As a church family, we're aware of different ones. We might not be as close to each one, but we're aware of, and that's why one of the reasons we meet on Wednesday night, so that we can pray one for another. We can allow our prayer requests to be made known, and we can lift up each other, and we can look to be a support and help us, others, as a church family, go through some of these storms. God's call is not a call to a life of ease. It's not a call to a life of comfort. It's not a call to a life of health, wealth, or personal prosperity, no matter what some might want you to believe. Just study the life of the ones closest to the Lord while He walked on the face of the earth, His own apostles. Look at their lives. There was never a promise of ease and comfort and health and wealth and personal prosperity, but rather of service. A call to service. Saved for a purpose, to serve, to represent the Savior, to accomplish some things that will impact eternity. Yeah. A purposeful meaning to life. That's true Christianity. That is God's will for every believer. That is God's call upon every born-again believer. Can I tell you that you need to know this? The storms will pass. Look back over your life. The longer you live, the more storms that you have experienced. Every one of the storms up to this point in time in my life have passed. What will matter most is how we face the storms. Because how you face the storms is what you get out of the storms. How we face the storms is what will last for the rest of our lives on this earth. The purpose for which God allows us to experience them, to accomplish what we have yet to accomplish in our lives. So we find, go back to our text here this morning, I think this evening rather, we understand that he knew, he kept them from one storm with the protection against the crowd, but yet he put them on a ship that he knew that would go into the midst of a storm, an actual physical storm on the sea. In the midst of the storms, can I tell you that we will be limited? The Bible says in verse 24, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." Now they're in the ship. They was placed there by the Lord. It was somewhat of a commandment for them to get on the ship. He was telling them what to do. They learned to be obedient because they understood that he knew what he was doing. But now they get out into the middle of the seas and this storm is raging all around them. They had no control over the winds. They had no control over the waves. They're in the storm, but they were limited by the storm. Look at Mark with me in chapter 6. We find Mark's account of this very same story, this very same event. And Mark actually gives us a little bit more insight into what was taking place there and somewhat the mentality as well. But here, first of all, Mark chapter 6 and verse 47, the Bible says, "And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land." Jesus was up in the mountain praying. He was on the land. The ship was in the midst of the sea and in the middle of the storm. And he saw them. Now, I love that because even on land, he's still God and he was able to see exactly what was taking place in their lives in the middle of the sea in the storm. And he saw them toiling and rolling, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them. What I want you to see here is he was observing how they would handle the storms. He understood that they would be limited because they could not of themselves stop the wind or stop the waves. But they could do what they could do in the middle of the storm, and that was to row. Let's try to row out of this storm and get closer to the other side. Let's try to go ahead and do what we need to do so they won't drown out here in the middle of the storm. And they were rowing with all they had, with all their might, with all their energy. He saw them, the Bible says, toiling. I mean, they were doing the best they could do with what they had to deal with. They were limited. But they would never stop doing what they could do. They didn't give up. In the middle of the storm, they did not give up and just say, "We're going to perish, so let us perish." No, they realized that they had been placed on the ship. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing and what they could do while they was on the ship. They didn't spend all their time focused on, well, what can we do to stop the wind or what can we do to stop the waves? Because there was nothing they could do to stop the wind. There was nothing they could do to stop the waves. But what they could do is what they focused on, and they focused on what they could do, and they did it with all their heart. They put their entire energy, they put everything they could into not what they couldn't do, but what they could do. Wow, what a lesson that he wanted them to learn. Because they would be limited while they continued on to serve the Lord after he was gone. They would find themselves in many storms by the government and by the other religions and by the Jews and by everything else and all the things that would come into their lives. They would have to face this over and over and over again. And yet they had learned not to focus on what they couldn't control. They would never, you'll never give an account for something you had nothing you could do about. But you will give an account for what you could have done. And should have done. He was watching them. As God the Son, he was on the shore and he was watching them to see how they would respond in the middle of the storm that he put them in. Wow. Never stop doing what you can do. They kept in mind. And I believe this is what allowed them to keep rowing and to put their all into it. They kept in mind that Jesus placed them on this boat. You see, make sure that we face the storms in the will of God. There's storms that you can bring on because of your rebellion. There's some storms that can come on us because you don't have the protective hand of God and Satan is looking to destroy you. But if you're in the will of God, if you know that you're in the will of God, then whatever comes into your life, he's in control of. And he has a purpose and a plan for it. As long as you know that you're in the will of God, then you'll continue to row, continue to do all that you can do. And just trying to get to the other side. Later on, Peter would learn that lesson, and he would write, God would use him to write this. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 with me. 1 Peter chapter 4. I love this because this Peter is in the ship. Peter was learning this. God had plans for Peter to write 1 and 2 Peter. He would have to experience it for God to prepare him to be a tool that he would work through to pen 1 and 2 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 12, he says this, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Think it not strange that you're out in the middle of the sea, in the middle of a storm. As long as you know you're there because God put you there. Think it not strange when you have to face tears, when you have to face death, you have to face sorrow, you have to face pain because that's part of this life. But you don't have to face that if you're in the will of God unless God has a purpose for it. That's what he's telling us. In 1 Peter, again, chapter 4, he says to them, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, you're in the will of God and you're living for Christ and you're having a testimony for Christ and you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part is he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. To God be the glory. When I face tears, to God be the glory. When I face death, to God be the glory. When I face sorrows, to God be the glory. Even when I face pain, to God be the glory. If I can keep that mentality, And God's going to get the glory as long as I keep rowing. As long as I keep focused on what I can do and keep doing it. Just keep rowing. Yeah. He goes on to say, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Yeah, just make sure you're a Christian. Make sure your life is representing Christ. And God controls the influences that will come into your life. Yeah. Jesus was aware of them. They kept rowing. While they're rowing, lastly this evening, turn back with me to our text in Matthew chapter 14. He would make himself available for them so that they would be able to acknowledge him and cry out to him in the middle of the storm. He would make himself available for them. Because the Bible says, if you look there in verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. So he's walking on them. They've never experienced seeing anybody walk on water. They're just trying to get, they wasn't expecting anything, anybody to be out there. They're in the middle of the storm. They're just trying to get through the storm. They're trying to just stay focused on doing what they can do to try to get to the other side. But he comes to them. Now, in Mark's account, over in the book of Mark, again in chapter 6 and verse 48, he says this, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. He would have passed by them. If they would have not acknowledged him, if they would not have cried out to him, he would have passed by them. Now, why is that there? What is the meaning of that? The meaning of that is God will not force himself on anybody. He went out there to help them, but they would have to acknowledge him. They would have to cry out to him. He would have passed by. He didn't want to pass by. He would put them on the ship to go out there for him to come to them in the midst of their troubles, in the midst of their trials, in the midst of their storm. But they would have to choose him. He will never force us to accept his help. As a pastor, I have dealt with a lot of things and a lot of situations and a lot of people and hurt. One thing I've learned, to never force counsel. It only do damage instead of help. Until a person is ready, you can't help them by trying to force counsel them. I always make people aware of the help available to them. I always make myself available in any time that they would have need to call out to their pastor or to ask me or to seek after God and through their pastor find the help that they need in scriptures. But I never look to force counsel people. You can't do that. I guarantee you, and early on in my ministry, I tried that. It seemed like I was the only one fighting for this family to do right. And they were fighting amongst themselves and everything else. And I would try to force a counsel. And it never worked out one time. I always lost every family that I tried to force help upon them.
trying to force them to do what I knew that they needed to do to find the help of God and to make things right and to get their family back together. And I can't think of one experience where it worked.
I finally realized, you make yourself available, but I ready to walk by until they're ready to cry out for help. Until they're ready to seek after the help that God has for them. God is always there. You can't hide from His presence. You can't go so far into sin that you cannot come back to God. No, that's not true. As long as you have breath in your lungs, God is always there. No matter how far away you get, no matter what you're dealing with in your life, God is still there, but you have to diligently seek Him. He'll make Himself available, but every individual has to cry out for themselves to get the help that's available. And once you cry out, can I tell you, God has help. Can I tell you, the church is God's main instrument, His main tool to help people. Every time you come through these doors, there is help available. Every time I tell people, you can receive counsel from your pastor 4 times a week on a regular basis. Every time I stand up here to preach the Word of God, I'm giving the counsel of the Word of God. And if you'll just avail yourself to what God has for you through His church, you'll find the support of other Christians. You'll find the joy and the peace and the rejoicing. You'll find the church as a place of refuge. You'll find that just being in this place, if you're truly seeking God, is a place that you can find rest. You can find help. You can find support if you want it. If you want it. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. He gives us all the information about the churches there in the church, this church age. Once He's given us all the insight that He had for the churches, He closes chapter 3 with this passage of Scripture. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," and you might want to underline this, "and open the door." He's not going to kick down the door. He's making you aware of His presence. He's there. And He's knocking. He wants to help. He wants to save the lost. He wants to encourage the believer in the midst of the storms. "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." There is fellowship available. And then He says in verse 21, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." To him that overcometh. Part of overcoming is opening the door. Because there's spiritual warfare. Satan wants to destroy you in the midst of the storm. He's not wanting you to overcome the fears. He's not wanting you to overcome pride. He's not wanting you to overcome what needs to be overcome for you to look out there and acknowledge and cry out for Jesus and His help. Opening the door is part of overcoming. The Bible says they were troubled. Satan will work in the storms to create doubt. He will work in the storms to create fear. He will work in the storms to create confusion. But you can overcome all that. When you realize, I'm here because He put me here. I just simply have been obeying His word, doing what He's called me to do. And they cried out. They opened the door. And He came in. Look back with me. We're getting ready to close. This is it. Back in our text in Matthew chapter 14. And they cried out for fear. They didn't understand it all, but they knew, I need, if that's Jesus, I need Him, I want Him. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. At that moment, all the fear left them, all the doubt left them, all the confusion was gone. His words quickly calms our fears. His words are still what we need today, especially when we're facing the storms. We might not want to hear it to start with. We might be going through and we just have to have a little space, have to have a little time to just kind of wrap our arms around what's taking place and what I have to live for and everything else. But when you finally realize that He is your help and you cry out to Him, it's His words that will give you the strength to go on. It's His words, His promises, His assurance that will be what we need in the middle of the storms. In closing, Psalms 119. I love Psalms 119. It's all about the Word of God. In Psalms 119 and verse 89, and this is it, we're done. Psalms 119, verse 89. The psalmist says, forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Yeah. It's settled in heaven. That means it's good for us on earth as well. Yeah. Because even in heaven, it'll be settled. When there all these other things are gone. So if it's settled in heaven, it's what we need now. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to Thine ordinances, for all are Thy servants. Unless Thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction, in my trials, in my tears, in my death, in my sorrow, in my pain. Unless the law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. Peter, as well as the other apostles, were being prepared for what God had for them for the rest of their lives, for the call of God upon their lives. Whatever we go through, and we never know what a day may bring. If you'll learn these principles and these lessons that Peter learned while he was in the midst of the storm, it'll help prepare you and me for the rest of our lives. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Storms. No one ever wants them. But we're assured we'll face them. Part of this life. Just want to make sure that God is controlling the influences of the storms in my life. That's key. Well, that is key. Staying in the will of God to be prepared for the storms. I'm going to have a musical invitation. There's always an open invitation to come to this altar, make an altar out of your pew. God spoke to you tonight. Make note of it and what He would have you to do about it. Storms. Father, we bow before You now. We do love You, Lord, and thank You for the privilege to be in church tonight and to hear from Your Word, to understand what we have studied tonight. And Lord, be strengthened by it. I pray, God, for each and every one of us, for as we go into the storm, some are in the midst of the storm, some have the storms behind them, some are ready to go into another one. Whatever it might be, You know exactly. You see from afar. And I pray, God, that we would just continue to please You with whatever it is that we are faced with. I pray, God, that Your will would be done in our lives. Now watch over us as we get ready to leave here tonight. Get us home safely and bring us back at the next appointed hour. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.